woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, we're based Stash and Jack. Captain Molly just met Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us, I assume. SP Futures, after yesterday's horrendous day, up 10. Dow Futures up 141. Nasdaq Futures up 20. I never thought we would give up yesterday pretty much everything we made on Friday. But we did, which is, well, not, we were up 330 on Friday. We were down 301 yesterday, being down almost 400. SP Futures were down 37, so we're back, where are we? A third of what we, maybe a quarter of what we lost yesterday. A lot of murmurs in the wind on some of this, the things that are going on with, this, how, I have not really paid attention as much as I should have, Kevin, to this. First of all, how do you pronounce the damn thing? Huawei? Is a, this thing going on between.
Yeah, Huawei.
The thing going on between Canada and China and us and coming down on these guys, and now there's, I'm reading about how much investment they put into Silicon Valley and how many people they have in school there and so forth, and I don't know, this is a way more complicated deal than I ever thought it was, but evidently it's pretty, it's a subject on many levels, like a lot of them, right? I mean, it just seems strange. These guys are, they're considered now to be the poster boy for all kinds of bad stuff and swinging things into Iran and everything else, right? I mean, they're considered general no good niggas. I really don't know. Where's even a court for this stuff? World court? I mean, or is everybody just accused? And how do you even resolve these things?
Well, it depends. If there are things that you buy in the United States with the agreement not to ship to certain places, and you do it, then you are subject to United States law.
Yeah, I guess if you
do it from China and you either manufacture and ship from China in violation with whether it's a treaty or a handshake agreement, your redress would be substantially different.
Yeah, you know, when all those things were happening, we used to study some of that in school, and not much. Just one course I had where they would. Same one where the guy did the hospitals and everything. It was kind of one of those catch-all kind of courses where how would you apply these sorts of things to real-world problems. Of course, it turned out to be one of the best classes I had. The guy was pretty bright. He was real bright. But, you dig into levels of responsibility, and it's like, how are the people in Cuba getting the parts for the 58 Buicks, some responsibility is who's making parts for 58 Buicks, and you sit there and go, well, there's 25 left in this country, probably a lot more than that, and there's 2,000 in Cuba, and we're making 2,800 parts. Where do you think they're going? I mean, I'm saying there's levels of ignorance all along the way. Now, I don't accuse Huawei of having their stuff get to Iran by mistake, but you wonder if you're still making F-14 parts, and guess what? We don't have any. And we know Iran does. Where do we think they're going? I mean, yeah, it's not that simple, I know, but a lot of times you got to wonder, okay, where did it come from? Where do they think it's going? Yeah, and again, it's a huge supply chain, but, I don't know. There's all, let's just say there's a lot of guilt to go around, Kevin. A lot of this stuff, or
Well, yes, observation, you know, this is one of those deals where there is nobody sitting here saying, well, we have to make some more laws to make sure that this doesn't happen anymore. This is clearly, and you know, like most of the time when we see things, it's a failure of oversight, a failure of law enforcement, and new laws aren't going to help. In this case, that's not being proposed. In many other cases, that's kind of the routine reaction as well. We just have to draft a bill and make sure this never happens again.
I just and you've said this more eloquently than me a few times. I don't think that if the morals become in society, again, I sound like some, you know, Socrates saying, be, you know, or I'm not Socrates, but be mindful of the youth. Well, okay, that was how many bazillion generations ago, and we're still trying to be mindful of the youth, right? You just wonder, Kevin, if the new morals are do whatever you can get away with, I don't see how the hell you ever watch 300 million people or 330 million people. You know, who will guard the guards? I mean, I don't see how you do it. I mean, I honestly don't. What was the one day, I don't know if you were to get the poor sucker who was on the morning that I went through how many law enforcement people are in the country now. It's like 250,000. I mean, and that doesn't count, you know, I won't say anything bad about FINRA or any of those people or any of the guys that are in regular, you know, bank examiners and those kinds of people. I mean, if you add those people up, where do you think we're at? Half a mil? 450,000? I mean, at some point, you know, what are we doing here? I mean, there needs to be some level of morality someplace, which I thought somewhere along the way was a corporate board, especially when you're supposed to have outside people that bring some sort of morality to the place. Now, is that totally by the boards or what? I guess it is. But I don't see, how do you watch everybody in the world trying to cheat? I mean, you know, the idea is that the lawbreakers are some very small percentage of the population, and you can somewhat keep an eye on them and get them and put them in jail, and unfortunately there's always going to be people like that, but, you know, it's never too many, hopefully. But now what do you do if every single person's trying to steal the other guy's patent, trying to steal this, trying to steal that? I don't know how you watch them all, Kevin. I really don't.
Well, if you can't watch them all, then your recourse is to make the penalties for being caught so severe that the, you know, because everything's risk reward, correct? So if you say, well, the risk of getting caught, if I have you know, one law enforcement person per business, the risk of getting caught is high, so they won't do it. If you have the current situation where you can't watch them all, then if we, whether it's stumble across, it gets reported or whatever, but if the penalties are so severe, like you get arrested in Canada and dragged back to the United States and tried, then maybe you won't do it because of that. Because even though you probably can get away with it, the cost of being caught is substantial.
See, Matty,
sort of the IRS's approach.
See, Matty, this Kevin is fairly clever because the same class I was mentioning, the guy was doing something, the guy, Southside for the professor, was doing something for, he was writing a paper on crime and punishment. And he came out with exactly, of course, he was a little more fluent than Kevin. If you think crooks.
Hard to believe that.
Yeah, he says if you think crooks are rational, because the University of Chicago is real big on most people, even crooks, essentially are rational. Now, they would parcel out, you know, the guy who knifed his wife 48 times or the other way around because they got
tired of those are crimes of passion.
Yeah, and got rid of them, you know, the murderers and all those kinds of things. And he basically said that what they would do is if people are rational, they would do just what Kevin said, that the fine should be, whatever you took divided, in terms of money anyway, divided by the chance of getting caught to make it a zero sum game for you. So at least you'd say, well, I could go rob that bank, but if I get $5,000, I got a 1 in 10 chance of getting caught, but the fine's going to be 50, so I better not. Or at least, why should I? I'm neutral on the thing. Because if I rob 10 banks, I get away with it 9 times, I'm going to lose all my money on the 10th time. God help me if I get caught the first time. So he was exactly with you, Kevin. Now, I'm going to say that in my industry, the bigger firms have 1 in 1,000 chance of being caught, and the fine is probably way less than they made doing the crime. So, in a lot of ways, it's you go, girl. You know, It's a laugh.
So if you're rational, you will do it. You will do it until you get slapped so hard,
which never happens.
It's not worth it.
But it never happens.
That's not going to happen. Then.
No.
Why not?
Well, because the regulators don't even know.
Now you're getting into, okay, why not? Because I have a conscience. Well,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That's a different story. Idea, different notion.
And that seems to be, you know, I'm not going to say that it seems to be wandering a little bit. Not necessarily because people don't have one, but I know a lot of industries, Kevin, that, really, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, you know, and it's unfortunate. I mean, that's the way it got somewhat on the trading floor among member firms. I mean, it was, when I say member firms, I don't mean PTI. We never were big enough to do this stuff. But there were people that essentially wanted the fast money, wanted trades, you know, done at these prices. And first the firms would take the other side, and then they get to the point where if they lost money, then they'd get rid of the client. If you lost money, it was okay. But if they started taking losses where somebody says, I want to buy 5,000 calls in IBM last night, or say, and somebody runs down to the floor and they'll take the other side on 2,000 of them, and all of a sudden the stock's up $7 on earnings, and they get a big bruise. They're like, we're not doing this guy's business anymore. What does he know? I mean, there was some discipline in a system, but it was only when a firm got hurt. And if it was a market maker, well, there'd always be a different market maker the next day, right? So, yeah, I mean, but at some point you do have to wonder, you know, what is the number? I mean, and now we have the TSA people, and I'm always kind of rag on them a little bit, and I shouldn't, because they're obviously doing their job, and they probably don't like their job, and it's probably not the best job, and they're probably not getting paid that much. So it's not like, but my point is, okay.
Right now, they ain't getting paid anything.
They're not getting paid anything. So, you know, at some point, I'm hoping, and I think actually this president has done a pretty decent job, but I don't know who started it or whatever, but I would say that since there's less, I don't know, what's the group of the day? For a while it was Al-Qaeda, then it's... Anyway, the bad guys, it seems like the bad guys are in kind of a down moment. Yeah, they're in kind of a down moment. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean they're dead, but they're in kind of a down moment. And, you know, what if one day there is no bad guy? I mean, how do you fire 58,000 people? I mean, is anybody ever going to declare enough victory to where, you know, we can get rid of half this... If the murders drop in the city, does that mean we can get rid of half the cameras? I mean, these are questions another generation's going to have to deal with, Kevin. I mean, it may not be us, but do we really need to watch everybody all day long if all of a sudden the crime rate's way less? You know,
I would say no.
Well, but I guarantee you, you know, that's going to be a hard one to come back on.
That's correct, because we always have to make sure things never, ever, ever happen again.
Well, that's right. And there's people, I talked to some people over the weekend.
An impossible goal, by the way.
Well,
okay.
Somebody told me that if lady, doesn't matter, just happened to be a lady, she said, I really don't care if there isn't any more hijackers anywhere. It makes me feel good when I go to the airport that somebody's watching.
So the only question then gets to be how much you're willing to pay to feel good.
Well, and they're saying right now whatever it is, they don't know who's paying for it. Nobody really knows. I mean, who does pay for that? I guess it's out of your ticket somehow. But I'll bet a lot of it's out of...
It's definitely in your ticket, and it's in your income tax filings.
Yeah, I'm saying a lot more of it, I think, is not on the traveler than maybe it ought to be. But it should be all on the traveler, shouldn't it?
You would think so. I don't know the answer to that. It may all be, or may be at least substantially built into your plane ticket as a line item. I don't know. I would like to see more line items on the on things, like on your cable bill, for example.
Wait a minute. We get all kinds of line items, and all it does is make you aggravated. $52 to the city? I'd rather
need
not
to be aggravated.
By the way, the folks that were in the World Trade Centers were not travelers that got killed by the airplane. So I think everyone's paying into this.
Yeah, I think everybody's
right or wrong, I don't think it's all on the traveler.
No, I think everybody
is. Yeah, that's
too.
A good point, Matt. There's value for everyone, and you know, I think that's correct. So it shouldn't all be in there, but there should be a substantial amount that airport security is paid for by people who use airports.
Well, if nobody ever flew, you wouldn't have any planes, and you wouldn't have a problem.
There you go.
That's
Let's
one
go
way.
With that.
It's one way. I'll bet it's probably 50-50. I'm probably wrong, but I don't know which way. You know, I'm not sure how that works. Anyway, Kevin, what did you make of I heard last night, I was in this bar with all kinds of attorneys, that they're coming up with...
Could you do, lose a bet?
Those guys are interesting to listen to. You realize how... Just when you think the world's pretty messed up, talk to those guys. Some cases they're in, and divorce cases. And did you know that there was a... One of the guys has a client who wanted to steal 35 hours worth of sushi from, I don't know, one of the, it might be Mariano's, I'm not positive. And so they call the police, and the police says, what if the guy just pays for it? No, we prosecute everybody. And so did you know that if you go on these small theft things, that there's akin to a driving school, there's a theft school. That if you go take the theft school, they'll give you, you know, whatever, 90 days, and if you don't do it again, it's off your record kind of thing. Sort of like a ticket. What do they teach you at the theft school? How to steal better or what?
No, they teach you that stealing is wrong.
Ah. I just never, I guess it makes sense.
Just in case you didn't know that.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I just never even dreamed there was such a thing. As you live and learn, Kevin, as they say. But evidently, I don't know, Matty, if you, as our sports executive director, that there's a class action lawsuit piling out of some kind of a lawsuit regarding the football game coming out of New Orleans.
I saw that, which is ridiculous.
What are they claiming?
Well, I don't know if it's
it ruined their lives, basically.
Yeah, if it's the fans or if it's the losing bettors or
I know what it was.
Of both.
I know what it was. It was the fans who now do not get Super Bowl tickets are suing for the amount they would have been able to scalp them for. So it's not like I've never taken my kid to the Super Bowl. And that's a $5,000 thing to me.
And now I'm deprived. No, they're saying is, I'm a season ticket holder. I would have had rights to a Super Bowl ticket, and this is screwing me out of my scalp.
Yeah. Well, and the weird part is, I believe that the last time the Bears were in there, that the season ticket holder was entering a lottery. Correct. So how do you claim you're A, going to win the lottery, and B, going to be able to scalp it?
Well, I think you go with your percentage probability times the scalp value, and now they owe you $50.
Without knowing, I'm going to guess the Super Bowl ticket to you is, Matty, $500, and the scalp price is what, $5,000. So they owe you $4,500. That's
ridiculous.
But if you only have a 10% chance of winning the lottery, then they owe you 10% of $4,500.
Yeah, $450.
So they owe you $450.
Yeah.
Got to do this scientifically, Tom.
It is interesting, though. I mean, I guess if you had a bet on the game, you're probably even more pissed off. But you know, but again, like the lawyer says last night, how do you know the guy wouldn't have dropped the ball? Not that it was a crummy no call, but you still can't assume that everything was going to go the other way.
Well, it was a horrible call, and the thing that bugs me is now you have people calling for the NFL to consider replays on for possible penalties now. Great. We just need to stop the game a little bit more often, because that's a way better alternative to just, you know, getting good officials who call the game well.
Well, I'm gonna blab one out there, and you sports mavens. I thought that they put somebody up in the press box with the binoculars or whatever he's using. I thought he was supposed to be watching for hits to the head. And I saw one earlier on that guy, Edelman or whatever his name is. Somebody whacked him in the middle of the field with a head-to-head blow. I don't know how the hell you missed it. I don't see how this one, if that guy is actually up there, how this was not reviewed as a helmet-to-helmet hit, not as a pass interference, but I mean,
I'm not sure if that's an NFL rule or if that's just a college rule.
Okay,
I think that might just be a college rule where they actually have someone that watches all players on all plays looking for head-to-head contact.
And is well, because I know that because well, colleges probably realize that. God, it's a horrible thing to say. The teams themselves probably don't care because they're not paying them. The guy's wobbly. That's probably a little too strong, because I think most teams probably do. But think there's probably a few that don't. But yeah, I thought there was. You're right. You guys are right. I'm wrong. There isn't somebody like that. Because if it was on a head-to-head hit, you would think it would already be reviewable if you have that guy.
Yeah, and that Edelman play you're talking about was after the tip passed interception. Yeah. He makes a lunge at the guy that intercepted the ball and then just gets, just decapitated behind him. And it was bad. And every time they showed the replay of the interception, you would see it, and the commentators would never mention it. It's almost like they didn't want to point it out.
They don't want Howard Cosell in the booth anymore. They don't want anybody pointing something like that out. Hey, in this world of head-to-head combat, replay that one again. Look at this one. How did this one slide? But
did they miss that?
They don't want anybody saying anything like that.
Nobody likes criticizing the refs anymore. I suppose I understand it to a point, but I see it sitting in the basketball arena all the time. They don't show many replays anymore of controversial calls.
I'll try and put it into a business. I don't know how long ago this was. It used to be that there was the game, there was the product, there were the fans, and then there were the people who did the announcing that were somewhat in the middle. And were essentially the color man was akin to a news person, and his job was to call the game as he saw it. And I think that has gone way to the point where everybody knows those guys are really NFL employees. And if five people get their teeth knocked out, you're not supposed to mention it because nobody wants to think of people who are actually getting hurt. I think it's gone way too far. Especially with a lot of the young guys, they will never mention anything bad. They will never, I think it's going away. You're not going to get, somebody there who's who's actually just, Mike Ditka, I'll talk about this after the play. When Mike Ditka went to the last game in Cleveland, when they went to Baltimore? And he was talking about the financing and how the only way you could lose money in football is if you were a gambler. You never saw him back on a set.
Yeah, just remember one thing real quickly, and that is that football or the sport is the product for the broadcaster as much as the as much as the league.
Well, I understand that, but you're never going to get a guy saying this game is way too long. Where Harry Carey would say 4 hours in, he'd say, "What are we still doing here? It's a baseball game." SP Futures is still up. Where are we? We're up. 15. We're up 10. We're right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures trading recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howley, Mr. Weber, Mr. Kevin O'Neill. SP Futures up 14. NASDAQ Futures up 38. Dow Futures up 176. So we have a big jump in IBM last night. But earnings came out, but we had a bad day yesterday. Hopefully we'll get back most of that today. We will see. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 26. These guys aren't exactly rocking and rolling there. DAX up 26.2%. FTSE down 15.2%. CAC around up 19.4%. So not much. Nikkei down 29.1%. Very slow. Shanghai up 1. Call that flat. Hang Seng up 2. Call that flat, flat. Oil. The oil is up 48 cents, 53.49. So that's sneaking up. It's almost a full percent. Brent up 59 cents. Spread is now $8.60. Make that $8.70. Natural gas, $3.10. RBOB, $1.40. Home heating oil, $1.92. We've got gold up 90 cents, $12.84. It seems to have found a little bit of a bottom. Not really rocketing up, but it was up a little bit yesterday. Eddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. All kinds of issues, especially in the northern and northwest suburbs due to these icy freezing rain conditions all throughout the area in the overnight and early this morning. And that's affecting all kinds of the northern and northwestern expressways. Not as much to the south, still warm enough in the city and to the south of the city that it's just a light rain. But give yourself plenty of time if you're heading in from northbound. Jane Addams Tollway especially has been a mess in both directions. And we had an earlier crash on the outbound side just before Arlington Heights Road. That's the most recent one, but there were earlier crashes this morning as well. So Jane Addams is affected in both directions. Also, the Tri-State has been slow too. We have a crash there southbound just before I-190.
That's causing delays, but there's been all kinds of issues on the tri-state in both directions. Just west of there, Hanover Park, Lake Street, which is US 20, just off of the I-290 Eisenhower at Greenbrook Road, there is a crash too. And to the north, it looks like St. Mary's Road at Atkinson Road, there's an accident. And Fairfield Road at Chardon Road, there is a crash as well. In the city itself, not too bad coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson looking okay. Southside expressways are all right. It's all rain right now, but as the temperatures continue to fall, that could get worse to the south as well. So keep that in mind as you're heading out this morning. Weather today, a rain-snow mix on and off throughout the morning, and then temperatures fall into the 20s later on this afternoon. Right now it's rainy and 36 degrees downtown. That's our high for the day, and then we'll continue to fall throughout the afternoon. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 63 today. Right now it's clear and 38. In sports, Blackhawks won over the Islanders last night, 3-2 in a shootout. Coyotes topped the Senators by the same score, 3-2 in that one. NBA hoops, Bulls were off. Suns were blown out by the Timberwolves, 118-91. Big night in college hoops, Northwestern with a nice home win over Indiana, 73-66. NIU beat a ranked team for the first time since 1973, as Northern beat number 14 Buffalo at home, 77-75. Notre Dame lost down at Georgia Tech, 63-61. And lastly, Chief, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, we have our first ever unanimous selection. Mariano Rivera, with 100% of the vote, gets in on the first ballot. Mike Mussina, Roy Halladay, the late Roy Halladay, and Edgar Martinez round out the class of 2019.
They have, what's his name? They got the Sox, too, right? The Veterans Committee. Those guys are going in, too. What's his name? The lefty hitter. Harold Baines.
Yeah, Harold Baines. I was just reading the ones that got announced yesterday.
All right, so explain to me, Lucy's, how is it, and even though I was always a Rivera fan, how is it this is the first unanimous one ever?
It's ridiculous.
Who?
It's absolutely, first of all, it's ridiculous that it's the first one ever. Second of all, it's ridiculous that a closer would be unanimous if no one else has been.
Especially since they almost didn't have closers in there for a while.
Exactly. A closer is a relatively new thing. And to consider the type of player over the last 100 years that's, you know, the best of the best in the Hall of Fame, none of them unanimous. Babe Ruth, not unanimous. Willie Mays, not unanimous, et cetera. And yet a closer is unanimous, first one ever.
Yeah, I don't – who were the original five? None of those guys were unanimous. Original five was wow, here's a trivia question. I'm going to take a stab at it, Maddie. Why don't you look it up? See if anybody can think of this without looking it up. I'm going to say Babe Ruth – was it Walter Johnson?
You're two for two.
Christy Mathewson.
Three for three.
Ty Cobb.
Four for four.
Honus Wagner.
That's right, all five.
Wow, I didn't think I'd get five.
Very nice.
Good job, Tom.
I thought he didn't tell you.
Of course, you were around for that, so you had an unfair advantage.
What he didn't tell you is that he looks that up like once a month just in case it ever comes up.
I went back to think about it. The one just popped into my head, and I can't believe it did, was Christy Mathewson.
Yeah, that's a good one. That wouldn't have popped into my head. I think I would have got the other four.
Yeah, but I knew Ty Cobb and Honus Wagner and you know what I was thinking of is who had the most valuable card. That's why I picked Honus Wagner for the most valuable rookie card. And that's still the most valuable baseball card around?
I think it is. Yeah, it's in such good condition.
Yeah, and then those guys, like you say, how does Roberto Clemente not unanimous? I mean, if there is a heaven. And a sports writer happens to be there, I'm going to ask him, how the hell did you vote no against Roberto Clemente? What's the matter with you? How could you?
Or Willie Mays.
Or Hank Aaron.
Yeah.
Or Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys like, Mickey Mantle, for example. But
Joe DiMaggio?
Someone brought up an interesting point.
Ted Williams?
Yeah, Ted Williams wasn't unanimous.
Oh, Ted Williams annoyed a lot of sports writers. Well, that's why he was never going to get a unanimous vote.
Someone brought up an interesting point I was reading on Twitter yesterday that, you know, obviously Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens didn't make it yet again. And in a couple years, Big Poppy, David Ortiz, will be eligible as a first ballot Hall of Famer. He will overwhelmingly get in. And of the three gentlemen, Bonds, Clemens, and Big Poppy, only one of them actually failed a drug test, and that would be David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Did he say he was sorry?
I don't know if he did or not. He might have said he was sorry.
That always seems to be the standard here. Well, he apologized.
Well, Sammy okay. Sosa never failed a drug test.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think McGuire did either.
I don't think he did either.
Well, actually, there were a bunch of guys that did fail drug tests when they were doing it just for just to see. You know, it wasn't punitive. It was sampling to see what the issue was.
Yeah, well,
as
Kevin,
it all come to a head, and you might recall that
Kevin reminded everybody
got released at one point. I don't remember who all was on the list, but there were actually some people who failed a drug test when it didn't matter if they failed a drug test.
All right, correct me on this, but for the listeners who have no idea what the hell we're talking about, which is not a good thing, there was a period of time where baseball decided...
it's in situation normal.
Yeah,
now.
Situation normal with me, yeah. There was a time, I'm going to... You guys, you know, follow me through here. There was a time when baseball decided they wanted to find out just how bad... If and how bad the problem was. So they tested people for 2 years, 5 years? And the idea was that the...
I don't even think it was two.
Okay. But the idea was that the names were never going to come out, and baseball was going to have an idea to see, look, we really have a problem, we don't, it's two guys, whatever it is. And eventually those names somehow made it out. Go figure.
Yeah. It'll be leaked.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And, you know, who's all... Who gets to do this leaking? I mean, if you have a secret, don't tell it. I mean,
that is an interesting theory.
If you have to keep something a secret, don't tell anybody.
Don't tell it. It's kind of novel.
Well, I mean, what the hell? Over. So, a lot of those guys, the guys that we're talking about, if you dug into those allegedly secret tests, were positive, correct? We think.
Yeah, and I'd have to go back and do a little research and find out, you know, whose names actually got leaked.
I think a lot of those.
I don't remember.
I think Clemens was one of them. I'm not positive on that.
Well, Clemens had the whole controversy where his trainer came out publicly and told everyone that he was the one that actually injected him, how often he did it, what they used, how they did it. The whole thing, and of course Clemens denied it, you know, from beginning to end, but that really sunk him. Bonds, I think there's probably similar stories. I don't remember them actually being on a list of guys that tested positive, but it's all kind of fuzzy to me now.
It's been
15 years. Well, actually, not even that long. I think the leak was maybe only 10 years ago, but the testing was probably before that.
I mean, I don't necessarily, from what I sort of learned from my buddy Dr. J, because he... I played football back in the day when it was big, and John was never a taker, and he always had trouble maintaining weight. And he said the guys who did do it, boy, you'd see them speed by you in the weight room and everything else. I mean, I don't really need, you know, somebody to tell me that a 35-year-old man all of a sudden with an acne problem on a back of his neck that he never had before is taking something. I mean, I can sort of figure that out. But now the stuff is so good that never happened to A-Rod, right?
Well, everything's designer now.
Yeah.
You know, they can chemically engineer these things, and so it's not gone. It's just it takes a while for testing to catch up with state of the art, and every time it does, the first one or two guys takes the fall, and then everybody else quits and moves on to the next one.
Well, anybody who is sort of interested, I don't know, is it a book, Matty, or is it testimony? The issues with A-Rod. If you read,
well, he talked about how he manipulated the drug tests, and he talked about, you know, because he still failed one of them. That's how it all came out. And then he talked about how he manipulated him and how he was able to beat the drug tests. And he apologized, and I bet he gets in the Hall of Fame.
Well, because he's on TV and he looks good.
And I think Kevin's right, though. If you apologize, we're pretty simple people as Americans. We tend to be like, oh, okay, yeah, well, I guess I don't really care that much.
but he was...
We hate the jerks that
we apologize.
Well,
we're forgiving if we believe the apology.
Right, yeah, I
but
agree.
But I mean, I apologize for what? For getting caught?
Well, pretty much.
Well, that's the question. Do you apologize for getting caught, or do you apologize and say I was wrong to use it?
Well, it must have been...
Every once in a while, someone comes out and handles it correctly, where they come out and they say, whatever the circumstances was, I sincerely apologize. I was wrong. That's not the person I want to be, and I hope to show you I can do better. That's the right way to do it.
Well, the right way to...
So many people come out and it's, you know, it's weasel words or I am sorry if I offended somebody.
Right.
Not I'm sorry I said it, just I'm sorry if I offended somebody when I said it. You run into that kind of stuff. And, yeah, if you don't, you know, weaseling, you know, weasels don't do well, but otherwise we do.
I'm going to shake the firmament. Does anyone even know what the firmament is? Ready?
Is that, what is that, from, like, making wine or something?
No, that's from the, it's from the first part of Genesis. Firmament of the heavens before there was the earth or something? Anyway, the, I'm going to say...
Yeah, that's over my head.
I'm going to say that the...
I thought it was a, a breath mint.
Oh, all right. God. Anyway, here's how you could shake the world. I cheated. I did this stuff. I didn't tell anybody. I was more of a player than I really was. So half of my $20 million a year for 5,000-year contract was because I was on the drugs, so I'm giving half of it to charity. That would shake things up. But that's not going
to
happen.
Oh, that would get somebody elected to the Hall of Fame, even if it was a 220 hitter.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been a rainy day in Lincoln Park where I didn't go out. And I read for probably 2 hours whatever this guy's – was it a congressional thing? Somewhere or another, they described everything that the guy did. And it was – this is where you learned if I ever take – see, now, Matty Weber doesn't even know how to pee for a test, I'll bet. And he's supposed to be Mr. Sports. So I'm going to take you in for a drug test, Matty. How you pee?
How do I pee? Well, do you want me to go through the process?
Well, I mean...
Are you asking what they asked me to do?
How do you change the process for the test to make you more likely to pass?
So you got to explain your question. Do you want me to influence my urine?
Yes.
Okay. Or do you want me to... What most people do is have someone pee for them or use fake urine.
No.
Because right now you can buy fake urine online that passes as real urine. And
how do you
pass
influence
drug tests.
Yours?
You would dilute it with
no.
Tea or water or different things like that.
You point little Maddie at the toilet. You pee for a few seconds. Then you pee into the bottle. And then before you're done peeing, you pee the rest of it in the toilet. For some reason, the mid part of the stream is a lot cleaner than the beginning.
It's a lot cleaner, but that's not going to pass you the test. Today's technology.
But if you
I'm
read...
Gonna, I'm okay. going to go ahead and push against you, counselor. I think you're
I'm
wrong.
I'm saying,
there.
But if you read the thing... These guys had this down... To the head of a pin, there was gum he took that I don't know if it was steroids or what was in there, that they knew that he had to pee the next morning at 10 o'clock. If it was the fifth inning and he had a bat again, he could take a chunk of his gum to give more energy in his next at bat. But if it was the sixth inning and it was after 8:30, he couldn't do it because they would test him.
Oh yeah, they had it down.
They would test him this particular drug, whether it was the human growth hormone, whatever it was. This one took 8 hours. Oh, the test was at 10 o'clock. You can't, the games that we're still playing at 2 a.m. in an extra inning game, you can't take anything. I mean, they researched this like I would a trade. Or maybe more. And you know, I was stunned at the detail. Stunned at the detail. And the interesting part is the bleep, the guy, I'm not a real fan of his, he was making 20 mil, Kevin, Maddie. And the guy traveled with him. Guess how much he paid the guy?
Not much.
It's like $100,000 a month, or not even that, like $50,000. Some.
Oh, that's actually more than I thought.
No, I don't think it was $100,000.
Did everyone allow him to go to baseball games for $50,000 a month?
You know what?
I paid him $1.2 million if it was $100,000.
No, I actually think I'm wrong, man. I think it was way less than that. It was like
yeah, I would have guessed like he paid him like $5,000 a month.
I think it was like $10,000. Yeah, and I'm like, you're doing what? The idea that he, but I'm saying there were multiple drugs. A lot of them, and he never got weird looking. He never got a bunch of zits. Acne, for lack of a better term, but all those other guys did. But look at all the guys on the 85 Bears; you can tell right away. You don't see normally 35-year-old guys with zits. I mean, Lyle Zato, those guys. If you couldn't tell that they were on steroids, you're looking at the wrong place. I mean, looking back on it, right, Kevin? Just saying.
Well, yeah, and El Zato said he killed him. Hey, can we switch gears for a
yes,
minute?
Yes, please.
I would like to. Mention an article in The Intercept a couple days ago by Glenn Greenwald. I don't know if people know who Greenwald is, but he's won some Pulitzers. He's a good writer. He's very, very left. He was one of the guys who did the Snowden interviews and published all that stuff.
Okay.
So that's kind of where he is. He's not a fan of the right, and yet the article, and I'll tweet it when I get off the air, goes into he actually does the top 10 news blunders of the of recent years, and this is in the wake of the reporting on the Kentucky high school kids, and this is in the wake of the reporting on the whether or not Trump was the stuff that was refuted by Mueller. And so in his article, he says the list was extremely difficult to compile, in part because news outlets, particularly CNN and MSNBC, often delete from the internet the video segments of their most embarrassing moments. Even more challenging was the fact that the number of worthy nominees is so large that highly meritorious entrees had to be excluded, but are acknowledged at the end with dishonorable mention status. Note that all of these errors go in only one direction, and I think this is the important part. Go in only one direction, namely exaggerating the grave threat posed by Moscow and the Trump circle's connection to it. It's inevitable that new media news outlets will make mistakes on complex stories. If that's being done in good faith, one would expect the errors would be roughly 50-50 in terms of the agenda served by the false stories. This is most definitely not the case here. Just as was true in 2002 and 2003, when the media clearly wanted to exaggerate the threat posed by Saddam Hussein, and thus all of its errors went in that direction, virtually all of its major errors in this story are devoted to the same agenda and script.
Why, I guess my question is, why does it shock anybody?
It doesn't. But it does shock me that you now have a journalist, a pretty well-respected journalist from the left, who is out there saying this.
I've actually never considered Greenwald to be from the left. I just considered him to be an honest reporter. And maybe he politically leans left, but I never found his writing to be slanted one way or the other.
Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. I think he is an honest broker, because I know that there are times when I look at him and go, yay, Glenn Greenwald, and there are other times when I look at him and go, God, I can't take this.
See, that's probably that's probably what all good reporters, that should be the reaction, right?
It should be, because if they're reporting the news, it's going to make you shake your head. But he is clearly, I think if you read the body of his work, he's going to be left.
I'm going to lob one at you, Kevin. I won't say my favorite movie because it was kind of dark, but I think she's special. Whatever, she's not the most. She's not going to be Miss USA, but she's pretty. Tina Fey's movie. If you watch that movie about Afghanistan, how you had to constantly up the video. You had to up the crisis in order to get on the page. And I mean, I'm going to go back to the 1950s. When you look at any reports, and Lou knows this better than me, that any reports of why we built B-47s, B-52s, this, that, and the other thing, the constant threat of Russia was overestimated. I mean, it wasn't until the mid-60s or later, that we even, maybe the 70s, we even admitted that the Russians didn't have a jet bomber. The Bear, their big bomber, was propeller-driven. I mean, it was constantly overstated. And I'm going to say that the defense constantly, the threats are always overstated.
That's Amen.
Why, and that's why we have, I'm not saying we don't want to be strong, we do, but everything we do here in order to get money for it is overstated. I mean,
Right, but I don't think this is a simple case of overstated. I think this goes back to the Dan Rather mistake. Where did Rather believe what he published? Yes. Did Rather, when he was talking, when he was publishing that letter about George Bush that proved to be fake, did he really want it to be true? Yes. And I think that's where we are right now. It's not just lefties about Trump, but in this case, you have people who want Trump to be guilty. They want these conservative kids to, or I don't even know if they're conservative kids across the board, but they want these Covington, Kentucky kids because they were wearing Make America Great Again hats, which let me mention, too, that those get handed out at political rallies like
Yeah.
Crazy.
No, but you know what?
I mean, they probably didn't show up wearing them. They probably had them given to them and
did
put
you,
them on.
Did you get yours with the?
You know, this is what they want to believe, and therefore they rush to it. And they don't, you know, you check reason at the door, and instead you go with what you want to believe. And I think this is true of many people in the case of Trump. They want the president to be guilty of something rather than, and there's a difference between that and wanting him to be, dealt with appropriately if he is guilty of anything.
I
sure don't want the president to be guilty of,
I don't either.
Of some serious crime. But I think there are a lot of people out there, and a lot of them are in media, who do want him to be guilty.
I think this is when you start talking about people, Kevin. Boy, oh boy, they're talking about the infinite layers of chess games. But I was going to say one thing before I go into this has always been like that. That people take, unfortunately, I mean, we may not even be here because some papers, the Chicago Tribune, and I'm not saying they were right or whatever, they were always right. Saying how the Nazis and the Japanese were no threat, how we had no business making bullets, we were pumping up the threat. Boy, oh boy! I mean, whatever people want to write, they always.
Yeah, I understand exaggerating the threat. I think that's an opinion. Now, what we're saying is we're reporting what we want to be true, without taking the time to find out if it is true. And I think that's a big problem.
As you know, Kevin, I mean, I very seldom agree with you. I do actually agree with you way more than I'll ever admit. I've always asked everybody comes on here, does anybody really think that the Russians would change the vote in Wisconsin? I think the answer is no. But the fact is, here's what a lot of people care about, and I think you should care about it and me, they sure seem to want to. They were here just doing whatever. I don't think they cared if I ran against you who won, but they were meddling. I mean, and the question is how much of it. I mean, the fact is they were trying to do something. Now that doesn't mean that Trump's in because of them. I never made that. I don't think most people would.
And I'm not saying you did.
No, I understand.
But what I am saying is that there are a lot of people who absolutely believe that. And if you ask me what I think the Russians were trying to do, and not just the Russians, by the way, there are lots of people interfering, and we interfere in other ones.
So
we're not pristine in this one as a country ourselves. But what they were after, I believe, was chaos.
Yeah.
Not necessarily an outcome, but chaos.
Well, then maybe they got that, or at least a little piece of it.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Kevin, thank you very much, buddy. S&P futures, where are we? We're still up 14. We'll be right back, Mr. Russell Rhodes. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Mel Weber on the board. We have Mr. Russell Rhodes with us, exactly. Professor Russell Rhodes. Mr. Futures up 14. Dow Futures up 194. NASDAQ Futures up 37. Kind of been there most of the morning trying to get back yesterday's losses, which basically took care of Friday's gains. So we're kind of yo-yoing here a little bit. We'll see where today lands. Yesterday, people were concerned about recession. Everybody over in Davos, was all the big shots were talking about recessions and lack of growth and blah, blah, blah.
I bet they were so concerned over there in Davos.
they're feeling some sort of pinch.
Russell, what do you figure let's just say a glass of wine or a martini is over in a bar there?
Yeah. Oh, what do you think it costs?
Yep.
20 euros at least.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Jesus.
I looked up what it cost to go to Davos, and they included just, you know, all the lodging and everything else, and it's basically, if you or I wanted to go, we'd have to pay about $20,000, but the travel for the 4 days would be about $20,000 as well.
Why?
Yikes.
Well, that's why the lodging, all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's why you have to have a corporate jet. You can't count on these other guys.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, your buddy John's there.
He's in the area.
Yeah, I looked at the attendee list to see. I was like, why is he there? And I was like, looked at the attendee list. He's not attending, but he's lurking.
In case they need him.
Yeah, just in case. He just happens to be in the neighborhood.
Plus, he's skiing and enjoying. He's skiing and enjoying himself. Right. So that part's good.
Yeah. Anyway, took his neighbor with him too. Your neighbor. Sorry, your neighbor.
No comment.
Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't name names.
Yeah. Right. No comment. Anyway, the. No, he's okay. What was I going to say here? Hey, welcome. Good having you back, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, your new girlfriend, I was with a bunch of kind of attorneys last night grousing, and one guy said, "Boy, you know, all these new people that are they're running for office now, the ladies now, they're all hot." You know what? I watched a bunch on TV the last few weeks. Actually, everybody, male and female, nobody looks like Jabba the Hutt up there. I mean, you got to be good looking to run for office now, it seems.
I know. That counts you and I out quickly.
Yeah, no kidding. And old gray-haired guys, I think, need not apply. But anyway, your girlfriend, what's her name? Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh my God! I got pictures of her up here in my home office with little hearts all around them.
I think she's wild. Hey, don't tell me if you were 35, you wouldn't say, "Gee, what's she doing Friday night?" Yeah,
she's only 29 years old.
That's what I said, 35 be perfect. You know.
Yeah, and who do we know that's 35?
You.
Oh,
but you already have a girl.
That's true.
And you probably
actually,
have the one.
She's my understanding is she's spoken for.
Oh, all right.
My understanding is he is actually the one that does a lot of the tweeting on her behalf and things like that. That he's kind of her social media person.
Well, Maddie is his young lady. I'm going to say you wouldn't trade her for even a Cortez.
No, I wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't do that.
Of course not.
Because yours is pretty special.
But I did think that she was much older than she is, talking about Ocasio-Cortez. She's only 29 years old.
Now, a couple of your previous girls that have made the trade easy. Just saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you always...
Well,
always,
that's why... That hints the word previous.
Yes. Always improving.
Yes, always
trying
improving.
Trying to, anyway.
Anyway, I was looking at her. She's raised a lot of ears, shall we say, with this, let's go back to the 70% tax on high wage earners. And I obviously am not for that, but I would say that if I was in her shoes, now who knows if she's listening, and actually instead of just don't take this as a sexist old guy comment about some young lady, if she actually, I'll use a Milton Friedman term, if she was rigorous instead of just loud, that's probably not very nice, but if she was rigorous instead of just trying to make a splash.
I'm going to give you a better phrase, and then I'm going to let you keep going.
Right.
If she were in this for the long game.
Yes. Because
I feel like that's where you were going with it.
Well, no. What I'm saying is very few people, and I don't begin to be a professor on this. Nothing is complicated as, I mean, and you and I have gone through this. As a matter of fact, I would say you are my favorite guest to go over this with because I'm going to say you understand it. Not that the rest of the guys don't. They do. But we have a very unusual tax system in this country. When you compare our taxes to, say, the French, and you say, well, those bleeps pay, you know, 75%. They're a bunch of idiots. But I don't think there's local tax, right? I think you just pay the one.
Yeah.
I mean, so...
It's they don't... Because they don't have, like, you know... Basically, dual systems of government, where you've got state versus federal.
Where we have really a four-legged stool here, and I can't. Whenever people say taxes, and I do this out of habit, which I shouldn't. I say, well, stop the conversation. When you're talking about income taxes, you're talking about you, and the fact that you're, I won't say a one percenter, but you're up the chain. If you're worried about income taxes, you're 10% of the population.
Yeah,
15% of the population. I'm going to say, Russell, that if she were to do some rigorous work, and I'm not saying she's incapable, I would never say that. She hasn't done it yet. I will bet you that you and I could identify 20 people of various walks of life, and based on where they are, what they do, if their medical care is paid for by their employer, I'm going to say we can probably find people that are in a spot where they're paying total taxes of 70%.
Oh yeah, when you add everything up.
Yeah, and if they're
spending most of what they make, and it's not somebody, it wouldn't be somebody that's making, I forgot, what is it, $10 million a year is what?
No, it would be somebody making
cut up. It's not those people.
No,
it's somebody that maybe is making around. Maybe a family with two earners that's making $200 to $300,
No. I'm gonna go way lower. Audrey's shown some houses in areas now that are the homes are $57,000 and the taxes are $8,500. I'm gonna say you can probably get into that house for, if you're making $35,000, with a mortgage of $56,000.
Well, if the taxes are $8,500, you gotta, what are you paying, $900 a month in property taxes right off the bat?
Yeah.
Well, if you're making $35,000,
okay.
And
but now take your payroll.
And you have any tax, you know what, you're making, if you're making $35,000, let's say $36,000 to make the math easy for me this early in the morning. If you're making $36,000 and you pay no tax and you pay no Social Security, you're taking home $3,000 a month.
Wait a minute. I don't care.
After the property tax right there, you've only got $2,200 left over, so how much are you going to be able to pay toward a mortgage?
Right. Well, my point is that if you look at the income tax revenue in this country, it's $1.7 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Payroll tax revenue is $1.2 trillion. So if a guy's making $30,000 a year, he's paying the same payroll tax no matter what. He's paying Social Security.
Yeah.
He's paying. So I'm saying that's going to be 8%. Right there, probably, maybe more.
And then the property tax right there, what you just said, is about another 25.
And he's paying 5% to the state.
Yep.
And he's paying sales tax on everything he buys.
Gas tax.
I'm saying you could probably make a claim.
So that stuff adds up.
Yeah, I'm saying you could make a claim that some of the lowest people, depending on where they are, where they got stuck, are paying. I tell you who paid 70%? The guy who used to get the $20 every night and every Friday night when he lived there was 70 West Huron, and on Saturday morning he'd come in and buy a Coke, two bags of Dorito, and 16 lottery tickets. He's paying 70%. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying when you lob this number out there, it sounds so horrible. And by the way, I would not like it at all. I think it's bad business and it's bad whatever. But don't think that with our four legs of the stool here, especially some poor guy who gets a couple of tickets and then he gets the boot and has to pay $800 to get the boot off his car. I mean, if you add all this stuff up, you could easily get to this 60-70% range if you're not looking.
Yeah. Well,
not easily, but you could get there.
As far as the 70% thing goes, the reason that I don't agree with it is I feel like the whole idea is being punitive. It's not it's not grounded in economics where if we do this, it's going to make the whole world better for everybody else.
I agree. And plus if you...
Yeah, I really, because, you know, in the, you know, she's made the statement that, you know, living in a system that allows people to become billionaires is immoral.
Well, the whole idea behind
taxing people at 70% is to make sure that they don't become super wealthy.
But that
starts to bug me a little bit.
All right, again, what you just said though, we're on the three-dimensional chess theme here. I'm going to say, if you and I and Maddie get a business. And we put it together, and we get a good product, and we get a couple of good engineers, and maybe we even get something that nobody did before, and we lob one out there, and everybody loves it, and we start making, you know, $2-3 million a year before other people catch up.
Uh-huh.
I think that is the lifeblood of American.
Yeah.
That's the lifeblood of America. But what we've seen, I think, in our lifetime is then we stop doing any sort of new stuff, and we hire 15 attorneys and lobbyists, and we stick our nose so far up the ass of government that nobody else can get in the business, and now the three of us are making $100 million a year, and you know what? Anybody who's making that kind of money, to me, has got himself some kind of a government-sponsored monopoly, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first guys that actually do something worthwhile, I think you should get rewarded immensely for that. And the people around you as well. But when you see your buddy, the guy who now is like one of two or three people in hand that does all the marketing, making all over the, and to me, not a very good job. Just bought a $122 million house in London. I'm thinking we can.
Citadel.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm thinking that maybe we could use a few more market makers. Just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, how far do you go with this? Does the head of an insurance company walked away from the one place $546 million? I'm thinking maybe insurance companies got their nose up the ass of something they shouldn't have, because that's not a competitive business anymore.
Well, what's really interesting about, let's just say that you're going to tax Jeff Bezos at 70%. Basically, his net worth is Amazon stock.
Right.
And he hasn't paid any taxes on that at all, nor would he under an income tax system.
Well, if he left it to his kids.
So if her idea is to keep people from becoming super rich because it's immoral, that's not going to work.
Well, she needs to, in my opinion. She doesn't need anything. She's got looks. She's got everything. In my opinion, she needs to think like an entrepreneur instead of essentially going to be a lifetime government employee. It was nasty to say, but it's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be on the dole. Now, the mentality there, she's going to turn into another Elizabeth Warren, unfortunately. But if you actually gave a crap about doing something, it opened up PTI Securities 20 years ago, and I'm going to say to myself, okay, if I throw all my dough into this thing and try it, and if I win, I get 30% of what I make, and if I lose, I got to come up with 100% of what I lose. That's a horrendous deal.
You're not going to do anything.
That's a horrendous deal. But these people don't think, because they're on the government dole, they don't think like an entrepreneur like I always have, because I always have been one. Why would anybody take that deal? If tails you win, heads I lose. I mean, and then it makes matters worse, if I throw $200,000 in the thing, and we just pop out the first year, I get to deduct $3,000 a year for the rest of my life, and I better figure out a way to live 100 years more, which ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, she has no concept of what it does to entrepreneurship, which I think is actually the reason why we are not growing out of this recession as fast as we are. We got too many people with debt, students. I mean, I can't imagine having a $200,000 student debt, walking home to the girlfriend or wife and saying, I just quit this job and I'm going to go out on my own. And she's going to say, who's going to make the debt payment this week? What's the matter with
mm-hmm.
that? I think we've lost our testosterone a lot. And I don't mean that male only. Not like women can. By the way, women have testosterone too, just not as much. I don't think they can. How do you be an entrepreneur when you owe up to the neck?
You don't have the ability to.
No.
You're stuck.
So it's, I mean,
You're stuck.
Yeah.
So
what do you make of this the government shutdown? The Russell, you and I have gone through a couple of studies where, you know, we say people can't come up with $2,000 if they need it today. Yet government employees seem like they're screaming bloody murder after two paychecks. I think is it a combination of a little bit of hype? And a lot that even people that get paycheck, how many people are actually living paycheck to paycheck?
I think there are a lot of people that live in paycheck to paycheck.
I mean,
there are a lot of people that are, I actually use living check to check as a cash flow example last week in my class about how if you can't pay minor bills that come in until you get your next paycheck, you're not living exactly right.
Or you're not making enough.
You're spending more than you should be, basically.
Okay.
I think there are a lot more people that are living like that than, I think most people are living like that.
Well, 10, 12 bucks an hour, if that's what you're making, you're not spending too much.
One of the reasons they're living like that is, and it's no fault of their own, we go through a choppy economy where, you know, even people in our business, a lot of people seem to work 8 out of 10 years and they're spending a couple of years in there, looking for jobs, and you fall behind very quickly when that sort of thing happens.
Well, I don't think anything drains you as much as going to work and not getting paid. I mean, there's places where going to work is a tremendous. Speaking of which, I'm not much of a tax dude, but Should everybody essentially, I mean, certainly people that are paying their own hospitalization, shouldn't everybody become their own personal corp?
If you can, yeah, and they pretty much can. People just aren't aware enough to do that.
Why is that? We try and keep secrets?
No, it's not that we can't try and keep secrets. It's that there's a little bit of a cost associated with that, and the people that are going to help you maintain it want to make some money off of it, and they're not going to make any money off of somebody that's making $50,000 a year who wants to create their own little corporation.
Well, if I have a question for you.
There's nobody marketing to them, during the commercials that they watch or the pop-up ads that they watch that say, hey, you could do this.
Well, I'm...
You should do it.
I already have.
Okay. No, I mean, you should do it for everybody else.
Well, here's my question. If
it were a viable business idea to find everybody that's in the middle income area and teach them how to do this, somebody would be doing it. But
I'm not so sure.
Somebody would do it.
I'm not so sure.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't know much. I don't know. I don't think you make enough. But let me ask you this: I'm not a big tax expert. My brother Dan, president of PTI, knows more about it than me, but still doesn't. He doesn't hold himself out as a tax guy, even though he's a CPA. If I have a consulting firm where, I don't do any money managing stuff, which I do, but if I just had a consulting firm and say all I did was expert witness testimony and all the checks got made out to, expert chief or something, some stupid name I'd put to the thing. I know I could pay my hospitalization and everything out of there. And now it's now deductible. Where if I'm just getting a salary and then they don't pay for my hospitalization, that I can't deduct it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now my question is, if I moved to Indiana and I came back across the Skyway Bridge that Mayor Daley sold, now the tab is up to like $5 a trip, which is obscene. So can I deduct that $10 a day if it's the chief corp instead of me? I think I probably can. I don't know. I'd have to ask, but I think you get to deduct all that stuff, your gas and everything.
I'm not sure if you can deduct going back and forth to work.
Well, but I mean, if I'm going there as a consultant, it's not my place.
Yeah. Oh yeah, if that's part of your travel to go be a I believe you could do that.
So I mean,
you can deduct miles. I forgot it's like 50 cents a mile or something as well.
You know, when I started at Pullman, you know what that was?
What?
It was like 12 cents a mile, or 12 and a half.
12 cents, yeah.
Now it's up to 50. 50.
Yeah.
Well, what? Yeah. While you're here, and I know you've had a chance, maybe not to study as much lately, but where do you put the actual when I say drag, drag on the economy that's not recoverable from this? You know, when I say that, it's if you own a saloon in a place that you get 3 feet of snow one night, on the one hand, people save up a little bit of money that they might have come out that night. There's a little better chance they'll come out tomorrow.
You'll see them again soon.
But
yeah,
the fact is, when it comes to dinner, they ate someplace. They ate at home. You're not gonna come out and eat two dinners tomorrow. So I mean, how much of this do you think is I've heard 0.1% on the GDP per month or per week. A couple guys are saying 0.7% a month. I mean, where do you put it that's unrecoverable? I mean, I don't have the resources to do that. You
I
do.
Think it's fairly low right now. I feel like let's say this thing stretches on for 3 or 4 paychecks. That's when I think people start worrying about it a little bit more. You know, it's not like these. I think the mentality, and I don't know because I'm not in this. I've never been in this situation, but the mentality might be that I'm still going to work. I'm going to get paid eventually, and I'll just go ahead and do some of the normal things that I've been doing and put it on the credit card. When the credit card starts to get maxed and you've gone through a couple of times that you can barely make the minimum payment on the card, that's when it starts to kick in. So I don't think it's a linear relationship. I think right now it's minuscule. Like if we get 2 or 3 months into this, then you really start to see it.
Well, let's say the national parks are, quote, closed. And how many people were planning on going snowmobiling in Yellowstone now can't, you know, all of a sudden cancel their motel reservation, and by the way, can't get their ticket back from the plane. How much of that is going on? I mean, business trips where people say, well, you know, the airlines are screaming a little bit. I got to believe if you're...
Yeah, I haven't experienced... I've flown a few times already. I haven't experienced that yet. I haven't seen the I haven't seen any of the problems yet on the airline.
Well, how many government employees that would normally be flying? I don't think every trip gets made up.
No, they don't. No, and I know we've been doing some work with the CFTC, and I know that just about everybody that works there, with a couple of exceptions, canceled all of their appearances for January and canceled any of the trips that they were going to take. So there's probably some of that going on as well.
Well, isn't it nice that the SEC and the CFTC are essentially off, right?
Non-essential. They're still doing some things, but like the SEC is not reviewing new ETFs or those sorts of things for approval.
Well, that's good.
You know, they're keeping an eye on us, but they're not doing things that they don't consider.
I'm going to say we don't need any more ETFs. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I read something about that yesterday, about how, you know, there's going to be chaos in the ETF industry because we're not getting any approvals right now. And I'm thinking, good Lord, people, there are like 5,000 of these things right now. I can't imagine. The only one that might be innovative that may be being held up is a Bitcoin-oriented one. And I'm not even in. The next approval on that is not until, I think, the end of February, maybe. So, I don't, you know, maybe the ETF industry feels like it's throwing them into chaos. I don't see it. I have a hard time sympathizing with that argument, because, like you just said, we got enough of them already.
Well, it's nice to know that FINRA is funded by fines and fees they do for people in the industry, so they're still working.
Yeah, yeah, they're self-funded.
Yeah, it's a, well, not exactly self.
We fund them.
Yeah, we fund
them.
They're
industry funded.
They just lob out bills. They're like like the little town that gets everybody coming through town with the 25 mile an hour speed trap, you know, type of thing.
Oh yeah.
It's what a great. So I mean, you don't think a lot of it is unrecoverable at this point? I'm going to say I agree with you.
Yet, but again, I don't think it's a linear relationship. I think if you start to get 2 to 3 paychecks into this thing, that's when it becomes an issue.
All right, that begs the question. We got 10 seconds here. I'm going to say 2 more paychecks. It's a problem.
2 more?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just lobbing that out there.
I think it's already a huge problem.
I think middle of the next month.
S&P futures up 11. Dow futures up 170. NASDAQ futures up 29. Still up, but back a little bit from the highs so far. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such,
is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes. S&P futures up 10 and a quarter. Dow futures up 165. And the futures up 28. We've been up pretty much all morning. I'm sitting here mesmerized by my USDebtClock.org, which I promised myself to never put up, but then I always do, which is not such a good thing. Where the hell's the rest of my stuff here? Yeah, they want you to traffic weather sports while I find my other page. I seem to have lost because of the... Oh, here we go. I got it. Boy, I'm going crazy here. Because I can't wait to tell you what I'm going to tell you after this. DAX futures up 26.2%. This is the DAX, not the futures. Up 26.2%. FTSE down 15.2%. CAC around up 19.4%. So not much going on and somewhat mixed over in Europe. Same thing in Asia. Nikkei down 29.1%. Hang Seng up 2. Call that flat. Shanghai up 1. Call that flat. So they're about as flat as I've seen them over there, really, in any ever. Oil up 48 cents. Now they were up a little bit more, 0.91%. Brent up 59 cents, 0.96. Natural gas, 3.10. RBOB, $1.40. And home heating oil, $1.92. That's actually up a few cents in the last week, so that would have been a nice buy, I guess. Gold up 90 cents. Silver up 8 cents. It's bouncing back off their lows here a little bit. Maybe what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. As we mentioned during our last report, all kinds of weather issues, especially to the north of the city and northwest, as a lot of the rain in the area is a mix of freezing rain and snow. The further north you are in the city and to the south, it's still just rain, but that could change any minute now as temperatures continue to fall throughout the morning and into the afternoon. We have all kinds of delays on the I-90 expressways, Jane Addams, the Kennedy, and then 94 with the Edens due to some earlier crashes. No new crashes to report there, but give yourself plenty of time on those expressways. Specifically, the tri-state in both directions has been a major issue as well, but again, no accidents to report right now, just a bunch of earlier crashes that have caused ensuing delays. Eisenhower traffic building, same with the Stevenson. Southside expressways are looking okay. As far as accidents are concerned, I-55 out near Lamont, near Frontage Road, we have a crash that's causing delays on the Stevenson further west. No issues, though, as you approach the inbound Stevenson closer into downtown.
out in the suburbs, Warrenville, at Warrenville Road at Route 53, there's an accident. In Naperville, Winfield Road at Ferry, there's a crash. In Wheaton, Geneva Road at Pleasant Hill Road, there's an accident. In Hanover Park, we had an earlier crash. Lake Street, which is just off of the Eisenhower at Greenbrook Boulevard, there's an accident. That accident has been ongoing, so that was a pretty significant crash with crews on the scene. Out in Elgin, McLean Boulevard at Royal Boulevard, there's an accident. Northern suburbs, Route 22, westbound at Route 83, a pretty busy intersection there. There's a crash with delays, but all kinds of issues, like I mentioned, to the north and northwest, so give yourself plenty of time as you head out this morning. Weather today, that rain and snow mix will continue throughout the morning with foggy conditions as well, and then temperatures will continue to fall. So our high is where we're at right now, which is 35 degrees downtown. We'll get down into the 20s later on this afternoon and evening, but hopefully the rain tapers off. In the city, though, it's just rain, no ice or snow to report. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 63 today. Right now it's clear and 39. In sports, Blackhawks snapped their five-game skid. They beat the Islanders in a shootout 3-2. Coyotes topped the Senators 3-2. Suns were blown out by the Timberwolves 118-91. Bulls were off. College hoops, Northwestern over Indiana 73-66. NIU upset number 14 Buffalo 77-75 over in DeKalb. Notre Dame lost a tough one down in Atlanta to Georgia Tech 63-61. And as we touched on in hour one, the MLB will add four new members to its Hall of Fame class as Mariano Rivera became the first unanimous recipient to get in. Mike Mussina, Roy Halladay, the late Roy Halladay, who died in a plane crash back in 2017, and Edgar Martinez, a DH, all will join Rivera as part of that 2019 class. Chief.
Question, Maddie, for you. At some point, as we take an entire generation and put the coaches, the managers, and the owners from the steroid era, and the announcers, who all knew about it and said nothing, into the Hall of Fame, at some point, do you say the hell with it and put the people in?
Yeah, I couldn't care less about the Hall of Fame one way or the other. So, I mean, I'd say put them all in if they have the numbers to warrant it. And then if you want to put an asterisk next to them and explain that this was an era where the numbers were inflated, and then you can clearly see when the numbers went back down to normal, which they did and have, I'd be fine with that. It doesn't bother me either way.
So just when you think.
But it's insane to have a guy that hit over 700 home runs in Barry Bonds.
Yeah. Or even Sammy Sosa. Look at the money for the generation.
Yeah, the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is crazy.
Especially when he'd have been in long before he took his first roid.
Right. Sosa, I'm not so sure. Bonds, yes.
The McGuire?
McGuire, I don't think, would have been in either without steroids. But definitely.
Clemens?
Definitely now. Clemens would have been in regardless. He was a monster in the 80s and 90s, yeah. Well before he was extended his career into the 2000s by taking steroids.
Nice way to put it, extended his career. So yes. Just when you say stuff that you used to say and you think you are correct, here I am looking at this page, at my U.S. debt clock, which I never see anything on here that I'm not fascinated with. What did I just mention to you, Russell? There were four legs to this stool, revenue stool?
Yeah. Yes, you did. I'm looking at the debt clock, too. I am totally mesmerized.
Start going back in the time machine. It's even worse. I don't know if you saw that up in the top right corner.
Oh, top right corner, debt clock. Go back. When should I go back to?
Well, whatever. But hey, you see what's up there? For the first time I noticed it. That doesn't mean it's the first time it's been there. We now have five legs to the stool. What is the other leg? Revenue.
Revenue.
Maddie?
I don't know what the first four were.
Well, the first four were income tax, payroll tax, state tax, and local tax that people pay.
Does that include property tax in there?
Yeah, well, state tax.
That's part of state?
Yeah.
That's a state tax.
Is a student loan or credit card interest or anything part of it? Or is it just
taxes? No, I'm talking about this is taxes to government.
Oh, I don't know. What's the other one?
Try tariff tax revenue.
I don't even know what that means.
Well,
oh,
tariffs,
there it is.
Tariffs,
yeah.
That we're paying?
Yeah.
We're up to $58 billion in tariffs.
They've allocated that onto the people?
Well, who do you think pays
them? That's who ends up paying for it.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying they can
track them, sure.
Yeah, they can break that down numerically on a per-person basis. I guess you probably can.
You might want to tweet this out to your presidente as the everything has a definition, right? You got to have a definition. Tariff tax revenue. Customs duty is a tariff or tax imposed on goods when transported into the U.S. and is paid for by the importer of record, not the Chinese. We might want to mention that to the White House.
Didn't we get into a fight with Jim Cramer on Twitter because he said that the tariffs wouldn't actually be paid for by the people or something like that? And we're like, what are you talking about?
What was he mad about? It was something. He had said something the day before, and I said he was nuts.
Yeah, and then he fired. Chief called Cramer nuts, and Cramer fired back at Chief, and basically, said he didn't know what he was talking about. And it turns out now it's on the official debt clock. So I think you were right, Chief.
Yeah, I mean, these tariffs were not paid for by Americans. Sure they are. Who pays for them? I mean, Russell, you're an economics professor. This is an easy one.
If I buy something from China and there was an extra $5 tariff on that, it's going to cost me an extra $5, and that $5 didn't go back to the manufacturer in China.
Well, it might.
Where'd it go?
Well,
net out, it goes to the government.
$5 goes to the government. Somebody else may eat a piece along the way to where you're only paying $4. But
maybe they paid the $5 coming in, but then they passed that cost on to me. So I believe that extra $5 ended up in the government's pocket.
Sure, yeah. That part is assured.
Yeah. You can get technical on it all you want, but in reality, that's where the money goes.
I'm saying most of the time.
And then they spend it for the benefit of all of us.
Yes. For the benefit of mostly Matty Weber, I think.
Yep.
Okay. So we've been arguing over how long the work stoppage. Let's do something crazy and fast forward it out to summer. Now what? I mean, these people got to be getting other jobs. I was reading last night. Some of the lawyer guys were telling me that they some of the FBI guys in Chicago are driving Uber.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. Is I'll bet you we've got an abundance of Uber drivers right now.
How long does it take you to become an Uber driver? You can't just do it like tomorrow, can you?
I think you pretty much can do it tomorrow. You just have to have a working car, and it has to be of a certain vintage. It can't be like an old car. You have to have a valid driver.
It hits close to home.
Well, I think yours might barely make it. I don't know.
It's over 20 years.
Probably not. Valid driver's license, valid insurance. They check your driving record and your criminal record, and if you pass on all that stuff, I think you're good to go.
Actually, I think it's 15 years. I'm not even close.
Yeah. Yeah, your car is really old.
Thanks. First of all, it's not a car.
Well, SUV.
It's a unit. They call it it's a fine unit. And by the way,
I think they called it an SUV.
Yeah, and I have two or three people at various restaurants that I go, they can't wait to park it. They think it's spectacular.
Well, they don't get to drive it very often, those type of vehicles anymore.
Secret Service.
Considering most of the valet people weren't even born probably when your car was made.
Yeah, that's a little harsh. Well, he gets us here every morning and it's like a tank.
I got no issue with it. Good for softball. Throw all the gear in the back.
It gets you from one place to another.
Yeah,
that's
right. So,
did you feel safe driving on the ice in it today?
Oh yeah. Well, ice is a problem for any car, right? And if
you're in a big hulking automobile, you're not as worried about taking a header.
If I lived in a place that was a little hillier, obviously Chicago's not, I would be the first person to get dedicated winter tires. I'd get myself a spare set of wheels. I would get the Blizzex or whatever. I think they make that much of a difference. I really do. To where they've got the rougher rubber, it makes a massive difference on ice. And it would be, if it was a hilly area, I would get those in a second. But in Chicago, I'm not, all you got to do is crack into somebody once, and yes, you needed it. But
yeah.
Where do you think? I mean, I don't know if either one of us are expert on DACA and so forth. I mean, he changed it from the Obama DACA thing, made it much more stringent. Now the deal is essentially to go back and renege on his. I don't know how this all comes out. Do you know anybody who really knows all this stuff? Because I'd love to have a man. Because I don't know if the deal that are being proposed by the White House is horrible or not. I don't know enough about the DACA and how much they're deporting.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it because I don't know what the set in stone thing is for that right now. I don't know what he rolled back relative to what Obama was offering, and if he just said okay, we'll do something with DACA, and the Democrats said looked at it and decided, well, he's not really saying anything.
I think that's what happened, but
because they rejected it so quick, the way that it could come across, depending on your filtered view, is that he made an offer and they didn't even acknowledge the offer. So he might be trying to unown this a little bit.
Well, yeah.
He initially said, I'm going to own this thing.
Yep.
And I think this might, personally, I think it's a very transparent attempt at not fully owning this thing anymore.
I think it's a big enough problem, and the fact that Trump is good at is to bring mm-hmm. problems out into the debate that some people kind of have forgotten about for a while. I mean mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, three terms of presidents I didn't think did very much. So I mean, I always thought his biggest strength and something that I thought he would be really good at, and that's why I was not all that opposed to him becoming president. But I this whole idea of popping out. One thing I always, as a committee chairman, I don't know where I read this, but I used to read about, you know, being chairman and doing stuff like that and how you'd be a good one. He said you always have to have a solution in mind before you, you know, tear down the wall. I mean,
yeah.
And even though if you have a good committee, the solution should be way better after getting everybody else's point of view than the one you had in the beginning. But at least you were the leader enough to have one before you tore the place down. I see that as a massive weakness in this White House. There isn't an obvious solution. And so they end up in this never never land of calling people names on like every issue. I mean, he should have something.
I like how you put that, calling everybody else names on this.
Yeah, which is really what people are doing. I mean, right? And you get into these personality conflicts, and then it comes down to which person you like and which person you don't like, and that's kind of no way to deal with stuff. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Pelosi. I'm not a big fan of Trump. But I mean, the last thing you need is those two arguing because they're pissed off at each other. I mean, that's not the job there. It's like a doctor.
No.
It's like a doctor not treating you because he doesn't like you. Well, don't like him, but bring him back to, you know, treat him, and then so you can argue with him again or something. You know, one has nothing to do with the other. But these people seem to think it does. There's people that I've had as clients that I was not all that fond of. That doesn't mean that I didn't try and, you know, to the extent that they were my client, I did absolutely the best I could for them. You know, type of thing. It doesn't mean if they say, let's go on vacation together, I won't say, no, I'm going with Russell. I've already booked that.
I was kind of hoping that they would replace her.
I was too.
That somebody else would get in there that hadn't battled as much publicly with Trump, that maybe there could be some working with going on.
Well, the deal was...
Maybe that's my naive thinking that you know, and you can't replace him right now as the leader on that side. But when that came up, I was a little hopeful, you know, and I don't know if somebody had unseated her, if that would have been, you know, somebody that Trump could have worked with better, but at least there wouldn't have been the history.
As a former Democrat, I'm going to say that she made the deal Maddie, you remember this, that she, if she got the job again, she was going to leave voluntarily after 2 years. I think the new leadership in the Democratic Party is 2 years away. So I'm not so sure that's a horrible deal. The Republicans have people closer to the top of the bench, I think, than the Democrats do. Democrats got some pretty good young people. And I think the Republicans do too. I'm actually somewhat encouraged by some of the young people that have gotten elected. On both sides, and I, you know, there might be a future for us if we could somehow wiggle out of the next 5 or 6 years, get rid of these other people. But I don't know. That's one man's opinion. I've listened to some of them on Face the Nation and so forth. And again, like Mike Royko, I don't know if you were a big fan of his.
Oh yeah.
Well, Maddie, this is what he said about politicians. They said, "Well, do you ever go talk to these guys?" He said, "I don't ever want to talk to them." He goes, well, they actually are pretty impressive in person. And Mike Royko goes, that's their job, is to be impressive in person. Doesn't make him any more honest. It doesn't make him less of a liar. He said, but if you go into a room and there's 15 guys in there with bowling shirts on, or 15 ladies, whatever, whoever the group happens to be, if the politician can't come in and come out walking away with people liking him, that is his job. But if you can't do that, you're not going to win. And the guys who are good at it win. He said, it doesn't mean that they're going to steal less because you like them, or they're going to lie less. That's why I don't want to talk to any of them. They're good at what they do. I probably will like them, and I don't want to like them. Is what he? Of course, he was a little grumpier even than me. But does that make sense? I mean, in some ways, on some level.
Oh yeah, but what's so funny is think about the two people that we got stuck with for potential presidents.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you think of two more unlikable folks?
Well, I'll tell you a person that, you know,
I always looked at the Clintons as like, if you invite, if they were neighbors, you'd invite them over for a dinner party, and you'd always look forward to having him over and always be like, you know, yeah, but we've got to invite her too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what,
you know,
there's a guy who carries a room. Does anybody carry a room better than him?
Than whom? Bill?
Yeah, well, you know who else was?
Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, you know, I grew up in Memphis when he was governor of Arkansas, so I've been familiar with the guy a lot longer. And I know Memphis is not in Arkansas, but it borders Arkansas. So I was very familiar with him a long time. You know, and a lot of people I went to college with were from Arkansas. So you just heard that he'd walk in a room and everybody would feel like they were the center of his attention, and he was their best friend, and nobody commanded a room better than that guy.
You know what I found was I never talked to Clinton, but like you, I mean, but we went to one of the SIBO things, and I was on the board. You know who was really like that, and she didn't do near as well on TV, but in person was spectacular. Was Carol Moseley Brown?
Yeah,
have you ever met her individually?
Yeah, no,
her eyes lock on you.
She was a very nice, personable person.
But some people have the ability.
I don't agree with their politics, but I thought she was a great person.
And some people have the ability to, when they're talking to you for 45 or 60 seconds, that you get the feeling that there's nobody else in the room but you and her.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a rare talent, and it's one, you know, I suppose I have it a little, but I really would like to have it more. And maybe it's something you can work on, I don't know. But Harold Washington supposedly had the same thing. The former mayor of Chicago, but all these guys, I think, I mean, they're good at that. I don't think, I mean, George Bush, I'm not so sure, because he was not really that kind of a politician. Mayor Daley, maybe not as much. Bill, I think, is more so than his brother.
But I think he had to work a little bit harder, and he also, you know, it's kind of like if you're in a family that moved around and you got to be the new kid in the school a few times. Bill was the new kid in a lot of different experiences, whereas his brother wasn't.
Well, you know, the weird part is...
See what I'm saying? I mean, he probably had to work a little bit harder.
Well, you know, without taking a shot here, you right-wing dudes...
yes, we are.
When we'd have the SIBO board board meetings, the local board, and everybody there, of course, is your, you know, pulled myself up my bootstrap market maker kind of guy. And I'm sure I'm sure at the time I was the only Democrat, but they had a problem because Carol was running again.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, we really shouldn't support her because she's a Democrat. And one guy goes, yeah, but you know, when my kid's class was going out there, you know what they would do? Because they knew she liked me because I was a Democrat. They would call me up. The right.
Oh, they'd have you
call
have
her
you
and say, you call get my eighth grade daughter's class. And you know what? She never failed. She always got to be the best tour or whatever. So we're all sitting around going, How do we dump her when all she did was nice stuff for all of us for 6 years? I don't know. That's your problem. I mean, because everything they asked her to do, she did.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to any kind of a rule, any kind of a new
bill, as far as the financial community in Chicago, we want the most senior possible person that we can get in Washington.
Yep.
Always, and I don't care what side they're on. When Obama was president, I never worried about there being major legislation getting through that was going to hurt our industry.
What about Rusty when he was the chairman of the?
Oh Mesa? God, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he totally protected us. We always want our industry always want the most senior person we can get on the right committees there. I'm kind of saying it to an extreme point. I'm saying like, protect us, but periodically, and you know this, there are changes to the tax laws that would be detrimental to the markets in Chicago that get floated.
Right.
And we need the ability to explain why that would not be a particularly good idea, especially in, I heard a great term the other day. It's not Wall Street anymore. It is global Wall Street.
Yep.
Because, you know, the New York Stock Exchange is owned by a firm that's got more people in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, the Options Clearing Corp has just as many employees in Texas as they do in Chicago.
Which, by the way, I think
we're all over the place. So,
which I think is horrendous, by the way. I think
things can move.
Well,
and
we can't.
You know,
we don't
can
know
move
the exchanges
away from trading
are.
In Chicago very quickly.
There are. What does the song say in Officer and General? I don't know, but it's been said. Let's just say that when Rasty was in office, let's say he helped a guy like Matty Weber, and I won't say Arkansas because Matty wouldn't be in Arkansas, in Minnesota or someplace.
I've never been to Arkansas, actually.
I drove through there in 1971.
I've been to Memphis.
I drove through Bill Clinton's hometown in 1971, Hope Harbor, Arkansas. What a bleep hole that
have
was.
You could you see across the river in Memphis?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
You were downtown, and
I was
look across because if you looked across the river, you've seen Arkansas, and that counts.
Right. When I was downtown, it was actually like storming, so you really couldn't see across the river.
Okay. All right.
Well, there were always rumors that if some of the contributions got a little light, that Rasty would call up Matty Weber and say, you know, why don't you introduce this into this bill in your committee? Don't worry about it. It's not going to go very far, but why don't you throw it in there, and there'd be some a nasty little thing in there regarding the financial industry, and everybody would, of course, the lobbyists would find out about it, and we'd go run into Rasty, and all of a sudden all the contributions would kick back up again. There was always those sorts of rumors, murmurs in the mist, whispers in the wind, as they used to say.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put it past those guys at all, would you? I know I wouldn't. But so, Russell, what do you make of the year is – choppy market-wise, economy, choppy. We got all these guys calling for a 2020 recession. It's always a year away, it seems like. There were guys calling for 2019.
I think it might be closer than they
think.
So? And the initial, if we start to see some slowdown in the numbers, the initial blame is going to be, well, the federal shutdown. Then they'll get the federal government back going. We'll get a little bit of a bump when everybody gets their paychecks. And then we will go back into a slowdown. But 2019 is the result. We're in it. We're at the very beginning of it.
I think we are too.
You know, we never know it until it's done. But as long as I look at the Fed fund futures, and you don't see any hike on the horizon, that's the market telling you that we're in a slow growth economy and maybe a recession.
What do you think of, and feel free, like you ever don't, I think mm-hmm. that if you look at different parts of the economy, some people have been in recession since 2008, never came out. Some people have done very well they'll pump up the assets on the way back, especially some people that mm-hmm. maybe didn't own the house in the first place, and now they got one at 130 and it's trading 170. First, the guy used to own it at 230 and was trading 130. I think that this, another month or two, we're going to throw a real lot of federal employees into a recession. That's another 100,000 people.
Yeah, unless we clear this thing up quickly.
Well, like you were saying though, early though, if you start getting backed up and all of a sudden your credit card, you miss one payment and you go from 14% to 24, you don't get it back to 14 because you make two payments on time. I mean, it's, you know,
nope.
some of the stuff, no. you stay there for like a while.
And, you get some interest on interest against you.
Yeah.
That's a paycheck to make up.
Yeah. Hey, SP Futures still up 12. Dow Futures up 159. Looks like a positive day today. We'll see how we hang in there. Yesterday, I thought we would give back half what we made Friday. We gave back everything we made Friday. So every morning, I've been kind of wrong. Russell, again, thank you very much. Talk to you next week. And we'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.